Amen. Take your Bibles and open to the book of John. Book of John. John's Gospel, chapter number 20. John's Gospel, chapter number 20. You know, the Bible is an interesting book. It's alive. And I tell people, some people, you got to hang on to it, it'll jump out of your lap. And you know, the Bible, it's the only book that you can ever hold as a believer, as a child of God. The Bible is the only book you can hold where the author is always present. You know, I read books, and I've held some books and I've met the author. But this one, when I read this book, he's always right there with me. It's amazing how precious the Word of God is. What you hold in your lap this morning, it trumps any book you got. Amen. I thank God for my Bible. In John's Gospel, chapter number 20, and we'll begin reading in verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen. Hear what we've just read in John's Gospel, chapter number 20, verse number 19. The Bible says, Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. And for a few minutes, I want to draw your attention to Jesus in the midst. And it's amazing through your Bible where you find Jesus in the midst. And whenever it uses the term of him in the midst, it's talking about him in his rightful place. In the middle of whatever's going on in your life and in my life. There's many times where I've been living my life and I forget that he's what it's all about. And I have him on the back burner in my life, so to say, or he'll be the co-pilot. And I'll be driving along thinking that I can do it on my own and I forget that he's what it's all about. And we find that when Jesus is in his rightful place where he needs to be, in the middle of your life and in the middle of my life, there's some things that he will bring to us that you'll never get over. And there's some things that he will give you that you won't be able to explain to somebody else. You just have to say you got to get it yourself. It's hard to talk about salvation to people that don't have it in some ways. I can tell them, hey, you need to get this thing. But when you try to explain things about how God is with you all the time, they don't understand it. They don't understand how a how a child of God can go through something and smile and have the joy of the Lord in their soul. But this world, they don't know nothing about that. All they, when they go through something, they've got to find something to fill that void. And they've got to find something that'll take care of that need. But when Jesus is in His rightful place, where He needs to be, He can take care of any situation you got in your life. And so my thought is Jesus in the midst. Now turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2. In verse number 46 of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found Him. This is Jesus. They found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard Him were astonished at His understanding and His answers. When you find Jesus in His rightful place, in the midst of your life and my life, He will become astonishing at times. You know, there's been times in my life where all I could say was that was God that did that. There's probably things running through your mind right now of situations where you were at, and God come in your life at that particular time, and all you can say is God did that. You know, He was astonishing both at His understanding and His answers. The end of verse number 46, asking them questions, both hearing them and asking them questions. You know, there's been times where God has asked me to do something that blew my mind. He's asked me to talk to somebody that just wasn't right with me and Him. And He asked me to get it right. And I wasn't on the wrong. And it blew my mind that God would ask me a question like that to do. And then there's been times where I've got down in the altar and asking the Lord for something. And the answer that He gave me was astonishing. You ever been there? You ever been praying in your secret place, asking the Lord for a need? And the way He gives it to you, you'd have never dreamed that He'd have done it that way. But sometimes the Lord can be astonishing in the middle of your life and in the middle of my life. I've seen God move in ways in my life. I've been in services before and God move in. And to explain to somebody who wasn't there what happened, you might as well just forget it, because they wasn't there. They can't get it. I've seen God move in areas in a service, and to try to explain it is ain't no sense in it, because He's astonishing. His ways is above our ways, and His thoughts is above our thoughts. So we find that when Jesus is in His rightful place, He will become astonishing at times to you and I. But then in John's Gospel, chapter number 8, John's Gospel, chapter number 8, begin reading in verse number 9. Then they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Here we find when Jesus is in His rightful place where He needs to be, He'll become our advocate. He'll become what you and I need. See, when I was, before I got saved, I was trying to do it by myself. I was trying my best to do the best I could. But what I was doing just wasn't good enough. But one day, God stepped in the middle of my life and said, hey, I'll take your case. And you know, every case that the Lord's ever took, he ain't never lost it. It's amazing. He's got a perfect record. He's always been successful at the cases in which he's took. And so here in John chapter 8, we find when Jesus is in his rightful place, he'll become your advocate. And then in John chapter number 19, John chapter number 19, and I'm talking about the thought of Jesus in the midst where he needs to be. In John's gospel chapter number 19 and verse number 18, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Here we find when Jesus is in his rightful place, he'll become our atonement. He'll become our sacrifice. You know, in the Old Testament over there, when that person would take that sacrifice and he would bring it to that priest, it's amazing that that priest always, every time, he always inspected the sacrifice that was brought. He never inspected the man that brought the sacrifice. I thank God that one day on the banks of the Jordan, John the Baptist stepped out and said, behold the Lamb of God, taking away the sin of the world, and he become my sacrifice. God don't check me out. He checks out what I brought. You may be here this morning, I don't know, and you may be trying to give your own works as you sacrifice. It ain't going to work. You've got to give the darling Son of God, who took my place and took your place. And when he's in his rightful place where he needs to be, he'll become our atonement, our sacrifice. Corey here, he gets books, and I like to read. I even like to read before I met Brother Corey, but We talk about authors and look for authors and what have you. And there's a particular author that I was reading. His name's August Van Ryn. And they're on Mount Carmel. They had that, you know, that little contest, which wasn't a contest, but they said, let's have a contest. We'll know who was God. And the Bible says that them prophets of Baal, they did their little thing, had their, you know, little thing, and got done with it. And then the man of God stepped up. And he repaired the altar. You know, you ever thought about it? It's amazing at the things that was placed on that altar. He took the stones, he dug a trench, put the water, laid the sacrifice on the altar. And he prayed, and the fire of God, the wrath of God, the fire of God fell. And it consumed the sacrifice, the rocks, the dust, and the water. And when it fell, it consumed the sacrifice. But this is what he said that was unreal. When the fire of God fell on Mount Carmel, it consumed the sacrifice. But at Mount Calvary, when the fire fell, the sacrifice consumed the fire. And I thank God that the day the fire fell, that the sacrifice took my fire and consumed my punishment. See, I should be in hell, but God took my sacrifice. He took my sin upon him.
Yes.
And when the fire of God fell, the wrath of God fell on the darling Son of God, he took my fire. I'm going to ask this question. I'm going to move on where I'm going. Is he your atonement today? You may be sitting here, child, grown up, I don't know. If he's not your sacrifice, you'll die and go to hell. It's a serious thing to have Jesus where he needs to be. Now I'm going to go where I want to pull my thought from and draw from. Jesus in the midst. And we go back to John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. We looked at Jesus when he's in the midst. He'll become astonishing. He'll become our advocate and he'll become our atonement. But here in John chapter number 20, here we find that Jesus, when he's in his rightful place, where he needs to be, he'll become our assurance. He'll become our assurance. You see, Jesus had done died. They had buried him. And the Bible says in verse number 19 that for fear of the Jews, they went and hid. They shut the door. And to them it was over. There wasn't nothing else to do. God had died. And they packed it up and went home. They lost the assurance. Now I'm not talking about your salvation. But there's times where you and I can get in a place where we get controlled by fear, by circumstances, by the things of this world. And these fellas here, you know, in John's gospel, this is the only place where you find, it's interesting, he's the only one that mentions the doors being shut. But no closed doors could keep him out. You know, it said for fear of the Jews. Fear is a real thing. Fear controls people. I know people that never come out of their house because of fear. I know people that does not let their children leave their house because of fear. If I did that, my boy would be really upset that I wouldn't let him go outside. But I know people that they're scared to death of the things in this world. And the Bible says over there in Proverbs that the fear of man bringeth a snare. And we find here that these disciples, they were afraid. And for fear of the Jews, they went into this place. It was a place of seclusion. It was a place of fear. A guy named Sir Philip Sidney, this is what he said. He feared man so little because he feared God so much. You know, when you fear man and you fear the circumstances around you, that'll control you. But when you have a holy reverence, a holy fear of God, it don't matter what man does because you're not trusting in man, you're trusting in God. But we find that these fellows here, they were living under the bondage of fear. But then in the middle of the verse, of verse number 19, the Bible says, came Jesus and stood in the midst. And he brought assurance to these fellows. And the same way that he brought assurance to them is the same way that he brings assurance to me and to you. I don't care how it is. The same way he did to these fellas is the same way that he does to you and I. And I'm glad that when I get so low that I can't hear God and God ain't talking to me, deep down inside I know that if I go where I need to go and have him where he needs to be, that he'll bring assurance to me. You know, over there in Genesis chapter number 6, when Noah was on that boat, you know, that big boat, it ain't up in Kentucky. This one, you know what I'm saying? Amen. All right. Now, that big boat, God was on the inside of that boat. And he looked out and said, Noah, come in. to the ark. And Noah and his family, they walked on board. And if you'll read that, God never says another word to Noah until he says, when the flood ceased, God said, go forth from the ark. Now, if God wasn't on the boat, God said, come out here. But God was on the inside. He said, go forth. See, God's still on the boat. Now, God never said a word, the biggest storm this world's ever known. God never said a word to Noah. But just because he wasn't a-talking didn't mean he wasn't there. Now, there's times when you'll go through something in your life, and it may be one of the worst storms you've ever encountered, and God just ain't a-talking right then. But just because he ain't a-talking don't mean he ain't there. Because that verse says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Amen. I'm glad that when I'm going through something and all hope's gone and this, you know, people's looking at your life and they're wondering, how in the world are you still together? Why ain't you gone crazy? And the only thing you can say is because it's God. And the same way with these boys, to them it was over. There wasn't no reasoning and going on. And then Jesus, he just stepped right in.
Right.
And he came in the midst and he brought these fellows some things that give them assurance. Now, look here in our text here in John 20. The Bible says in verse number 19, then the same day, even being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. He brought assurance to them, number one, by what he said to them. End of verse number 19, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Do you remember the day that God said peace in your life? It's amazing. The word peace. When you speak of peace, it's a place of rest. It's a place that, even though you're still going through that problem, it's something on the inside, just everything just settles down. And when he stepped into that room and he said, peace be unto you, it brought assurance to him. The first time he said it, in the end of verse number 19, he said, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. First of all, he spoke peace unto them in regards to Calvary. What he was saying was, the work's been done. Ain't got to worry about it. He spoke peace in regards to Calvary. And then, in the middle of verse number 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. First of all, he spoke peace in regards to Calvary. But the next time that he said, peace be unto you, it was in regards to the Holy Ghost. I'm glad I got somebody that lives on the inside of me. And when I can't go to a brother, and I can't go to my preacher, and I can't go to my wife, and I can't go to my dad, and anybody else that I'm real close to that I confide in and ask for advice, I'm glad I got somebody down here on the inside that I can talk to. And he knows exactly what I'm going through. And he knows what I need. And so we find that he brought assurance to them by what he said to them. Peace be unto you. In a gallery in Europe, there's two pictures that hang side by side. One is of a sea swept by storms, great waves, black clouds, lightning bolts. And on the wild waters, wrecks of vessels with human forms struggling or dead. The artist calls this picture life. Hanging beside the picture is another picture, almost the same. Rough seas, billows, clouds, lightnings, wrecks, men struggling in the waters. And in the center of the picture, high above, comes out of the water, is a big rock. And sitting in the cleft of that rock is a dove sitting in its nest. And that picture is called peace. You think of that song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Peace. I'm glad that he can bring assurance to you and I by what he says to us. And then not only that, we find that he brought assurance to them by what he showed them. The Bible says in verse number 20, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. You know, there's been times where I've been down, been discouraged, and I get to reading my Bible, and the Lord would show me something. He'll show me a glimpse of Calvary. He'll show me a glimpse of himself, and it'll bring assurance to me that no matter how bad it gets, I know that God's there. And he brought assurance to these fellas by what he showed them. Go to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 24. This is the account on the road to Emmaus in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 24. These are the two disciples walking down the road. And we find that they're talking about the day's events. And as they're walking down the road, a man, a stranger, comes on the scene. They don't know who it is, but it's the Lord. And he begins to talk about himself. And what a conversation that'd be. Anyways, and so he gets to talking about himself. And in verse number 30, they ask him to come home. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. Verse number 31, and their eyes were opened. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Verse number 35. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them by the breaking of the bread. Now what we hold in our hands called a Bible are the bread of life. Now, whenever he took that bread and he broke it, what it was he was a breaking the bread, and they saw the holes in his hands. And he was known of them by the breaking of the bread. Now, when you're a man of God, Brother Allen here, there's times where he's got to deal with issues. I understand that. I'm for that. But there should be some times when he takes this bread and he breaks the bread, that you see the Lord. He was known of them. He was revealed to them by the breaking of the bread. You know, it's amazing at the times Jesus broke bread. You ever think about it? He broke bread there whenever he fed the multitude. 5,000 people. He broke bread and it refreshed them. Lord's Supper, he broke bread to remind them. But here in Luke 24, he broke bread to reveal himself to them. You know, there's times where I've sat in services, the Lord allows me to go a little bit, and I've sat and listened to preaching all day, so-called preaching, all day long, and I ain't never seen him. Now, I understand there's times you got to deal with certain issues, Brother Allen. I understand that. But eventually, show me the Lord. Show me what my sin did to my God on Calvary.
Yes, amen.
Show me Him.
That's right.
He was revealed to him by the breaking of the bread. By what He showed him. He showed him His hands and His side, and it brought assurance to him. I'm glad that the Lord gives me assurance by what He shows me. And then, back in our text in John chapter number 20, we've seen that He brings assurance to them by what He said to them and by what He showed them. The Bible says that He showed unto them His hands and His side. You know, it's amazing how whenever you deal with somebody, you know, in the day in which we live, witnessing is an amazing opportunity, which we have. You're able to talk to somebody about the Lord. And a lot of times I find myself, when I try to talk to somebody, if God ain't moving on it, it ain't right. And a lot of times it's my fault because I ain't being what I'm supposed to be. I heard an old preacher that I know say this one time. He talked about when he was a little boy. He said that he used to go fishing. And back in this time, this is before they had all the baits that they got today, he said this old timer would take him fishing. Said he'd go out there and he'd have his cane pole and his line and his hook. And he said back then they used what's called wax worms. They'd roll them out their sail. And he said he'd heat that wax worm up and rolled up, sit on that hook, and he'd put her out in the water and sit there all day. Said that old timer, though, he'd take his wax worm, put on that hook, and he was jerking them out as quick as he could put her in. And one day, that little fella, who is a great preacher today, asked him, said, "Sir," said, "we use the same pole, we use the same line, same hook, same wax worm, but you're jerking them out of the water as soon as you put her in, and I can't get nothing." And he asked this question. He said, "What are you doing different?" And he said, "Son, see, whenever you make that wax worm," said, "you got to dip it in oil to get the scent of the flesh off of it." And I find myself so many times when I get talking to somebody about the Lord that they can sense the flesh, and they won't take the bait. But if you and I would be willing to just ask the Lord, dip us in some oil, get that sin off of us,
right,
so they can smell a smell from another world.
Yeah.
This world's a dying and going to hell.
Right.
And it's amazing when you get to witness to somebody and talk to them about the Lord, how it'll bring assurance to you. It'll help you to talk to somebody. I'm not talking about going out and talking to everybody you meet. I can talk to anybody, really. But I'm talking about making that relationship and getting to talk to those you know right now. It'll help you. We find that He brought assurance to them by what He said to them and by what He showed them. But then lastly, here in John's Gospel, chapter number 20, we find that He brought assurance to them by what He shared with them. The Bible says in verse number 22, "And when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." See, Jesus said, "I must needs go away. But when I go away, I'll send a comforter unto you." I'm glad He shared somebody with me that brings assurance to me. When I'm going through something in my life, not only is it assurance by what He says and by what He shows, but by what He shares with us, the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that, there in verse number 23 or 22, He breathed on them. I got to thinking about breath. Now, I'm a real simple fella. I don't claim to be smart, but I do know a little bit. And if you ain't got breath, you're dead. Amen? Amen. Every one of us this morning had to get up and we had to brush our teeth because we got corrupt breath. Some of us is more corrupt than others, so we use Listerine. Amen. But we all have breath that is corrupt because we're human beings. But the Bible says there in verse number 22 that He, the Lord Jesus, breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. You know, you can't walk without breath. You can't talk without breath. You can't run, you can't shout, you can't sing, you can't do nothing. You got to have breath. And I got to thinking about running out of breath. You know, there's a lot of churches, they've ran out of breath. A lot of Christians, they're as saved as I am, but there ain't no breath of God on. And I got to thinking about breathing. The Bible says over there in Genesis that God formed man out of the dust of the ground. And He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. We're talking about the breath of God. And the Bible says there in John chapter number 20 that He breathed on them. Now, this is the only way I know to explain this. And so that's the way I do it. And I hope I'm all right. But if I was going to breathe on Brother Allen, okay, I'm breathing on Brother Allen, but he ain't feeling it. Now, the Bible said there in verse 22 that he breathed on him. To have the breath of God, there's got to be a closeness. See, this is what you and I is wanting to do. We want to live way over here, and we're asking God to breathe on us. And He's breathing. He ain't changed. He's the same God today as He was yesterday. He's going to be the same God tomorrow. And we ask Him, Lord, breathe on this place. Breathe on my life. Breathe on my family. But we live way over here. And we live so distant from the breath of God. There's a lot of churches today that wish they got what y'all got right here this morning. I mean, I'm telling you, I enjoyed the presence of the Lord. How He moves in my soul and He talks to me and He walks with me. But so many times I find myself living over here and I'm begging God to breathe on me. And I say, Lord, breathe on me. But I'm not close like I should be to get hold of that breath. So we see that there's a nearness, a closeness. But then to have the breath of God, it's a necessity. See, there's some churches, they figure they ain't gonna have it because they got all their stuff figured out. And they got everything down. I mean, they got her down pat. I mean, it's good. I mean, it looks real good on paper. But there's no breath of God in the house. But if God ever walks out of the building and walks out of this church, people will still come probably. But spiritually, it's going to die. We've got to have the breath of God. Got to have it. And we find that He brought assurance to them.
Yes.
by what he shared with them. See, he gave them somebody that'd go with them wherever they went. But you and I, and I'm being honest, this is me, it's Caleb. I find myself sometimes trying to do it on my own. And I'm saying, God, now I can do this and I can do that. Now God, you may have to help me a little bit right here, but the rest of this I can get. No, Lord, I need you every day. Everything I do. That's one reason why a lot of believers have lost the assurance, is because they're trying to do it on their own. But God help us to rely on God and ask God to breathe on us. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise. God help us to rely on Him. I don't know what y'all need. Come ahead, the piano player. If you need to come to this altar, you come ahead. And you mind God. Y'all, you know what you need to do. Lord, I pray that you'll help us this morning. Lord, I thank you for the liberty to preach. God, I pray that you'll be with this invitation, be with this preacher. Lord, I pray that you'll help this church. Lord, help them to know the seriousness of having the breath of God. And Lord, help us now. In your name we pray. Amen, amen. As the song leader sings, if you need to come to this altar, you come right ahead.